Amen. Hey, I want to talk to us a little bit this morning on body parts. Man, I come up with some crazy titles sometimes, but we all have them in this room. We got body parts, right? Okay, some of you don't know if you got body parts. You all have body parts, amen. And so I'm going to talk about two body parts this morning. And some of you are saying, how in the world is he going to make something spiritual out of this? Well, it's easy. If you read the Bible, it's easy. I mean, body parts. And I'm not going to talk about exercise. The Bible says that profiteth little. Amen. And I take it at his word. Amen. Can you tell? No, I think you should exercise and eat right, and you should go to the gym if that's what you want to do, or walk or whatever. I encourage you to do that. Just don't ask me to go along with you. Amen. Is that right, Blade? Where's Blade at? Blade, you in the amen. Come on, praise God. My wife said the other day, she said, I saw him. We have what there's a basic, it's about a mile around our block, isn't it? That whole thing. About a 1.3. Amen. See, in my mind, I calculated that's 2.6 miles around that twice right there. Just that's almost another, oh, man, can't do it. Anyway, my wife said, I think that's the second time I've seen Blade go by in the last little bit. And I'm thinking, well, bless his heart. Man. But he's doing good. He's looking good, looking great. And I'm going to encourage him to run an extra couple of miles for me today. So I want to talk to us today about two body parts. And number one is the ear. The ear. Man, the ear is something. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. Let's start about verse 21. James chapter 1, verse 21. Want to talk about the ear. It's kind of unique when you read the book of James. He talks about these two body parts. He talks about the ear, and then he makes a transition to the tongue and the lips. We're going to talk about both those today, because from time to time, this is what I have found in pastoring, that in time to time we have to bring up some of these tough subjects so that it stays in front of us. Because if we just never talk about the ear, what we hear, and the tongue, what we speak, we tend to just go on our way and go off on a crazy path. But I want to talk to you about the ear first. In James 1:21 says this, therefore lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. Now, what is it that you're supposed to receive through your ear? The implanted word. You receive the word of God when I'm preaching to you, or when you're listening to a podcast or whatever it is you do. We can't say 8-tracks and cassettes anymore. We can't even say CDs really anymore. You know, I got a vehicle a few years ago, and I was upset. I got to looking for the CD player. Well, there is no CD player, or was no CD player in that vehicle. So I called my guy up and said, hey, I think I got shorted. There's no CD player. He said, oh, we don't put those in there anymore. I said, well, you need to let somebody know, especially the person who's buying it, because I like to have a CD. Well, it's all digital music now, amen. Or what's the thing, Sirius Radio, XM Radio. Man, you can listen to anything you want to on XM Radio. Some stuff y'all not listen to. Some stuff that's not the implanted word of God. So be careful what you listen to on there. So watch this, verse 22. It says, but be ye doers of the word, and here it is, this ear, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. In other words, if you come to church and you say, I'm just going to tune out the pastor, do you know that you're deceiving yourself thinking that you're going to grow in God? Do you know you're deceiving yourselves? The Bible says this. Let's read it again. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. In other words, if you come through and do the process of church and you never hear the spoken word of God and you never receive it, you're deceiving yourself thinking that you're going to grow when you're not. That's like me saying, I'm not going to go to the gym, but next year I'm going to enter myself into the Mr. Olympian contest. That sounds stupid, doesn't it? Because it is stupid. But yet we come to church and we think the same thing. Well, I'm going to disengage. I'm not going to hear the word. I'm not going to read the word. And yet I'm going to grow in Christ. It's never going to happen. And the Bible says that you're deceiving yourselves. If you come and do the works, but you don't hear and receive the word, you're deceived. I've been deceived in my time. I think all of us go through times of deception. We come and we just go through the process of church. Kind of feels like it this morning. I'm just saying. Verse 23, for if anyone is a hearer, there's this ear thing, if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, and I'm not really talking so much about the doing today, I'm talking about the hearing. If anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. Now, I don't know about you, but when I was growing up, I cared a lot more about what I looked like when I was dating my wife than I do now. You're saying, well, you ought to treat her the same. I'm saying I just don't have the umption anymore. But you would make sure everything was perfect in front of the mirror. Come on, somebody. You wanted everything to be right. I mean, I had hair. Thank you very much. A lot of it. I made sure it was right. I mean, in the right place. I mean, it was, yes. And I checked all the places that I didn't want hair to be hanging out of. I'd really do that more now than any. You get right up in the mirror and you're looking over in your ear, trying to get the side mirror. Come on, somebody. You wanted to know what you were going to look like later on, right? And so you would make sure everything was right and in place. And when you left and you got to, I got to my now wife's house, I had it in my mind what I was going to look like. Hair was going to be in place. Shirt was tucked in. Everything we used to tuck our shirts into, by the way. And it had a belt on. It bothers me, people not wearing a belt. It bothers me that they wear a belt down here. Thinking, why you got a belt on? How do you walk? That's something. I told you I wasn't talking about doing, so I'm talking about something else. So I remembered how I looked in the mirror. And boy, I was just, oh yeah, I'm looking good. Everything's just right. But James is talking about when we look in the mirror, talking about spiritual things, you look in the mirror, and if you're not applying God's word, if you're not into God's word, he says it's like when you go look in a mirror and then you leave and you don't really remember, was there something on my shirt? Was everything right? You quickly forget how you looked. And the Bible says if you don't read God's word, if you don't hear God's word and receive God's word, you will soon forget why you're even going through the process of church. And when you forget when you're going through the process of church, what happens then is you forget church. Because it's just something you do. It wasn't that important to me. It wasn't that important to you. So when you look in this mirror, you should observe yourself how God sees you, full of Christ, full of God's word, walking and doing what God's word wants you to do. That's how you ought to see yourself and view yourself every day. Not just on Sunday. It's not a Sunday thing. It's a weekly thing. It's every week. You should get up and say, I am a woman or a man of God. Today I am what this word says that I am, and I will do what this word says I'm supposed to do. And remember that. Put that in your spirit like you were in front of that mirror getting ready for that date. And when you leave there and you're in front of somebody that you know this word, and you say, no, I am a woman of God. I am a man of God. I am going to do what this word instructs me to do. I will be a witness, and I will pray for people. And I will be kind and I will love people. But boy, today we're missing a lot of those things in the world. We're missing the love of Christ in our lives. Verse 25 says, but he looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. In other words, he's saying, if you get in God's word, you study God's word, you hear God's word, and you apply God's word. Now, unless you cut off your hearing aids or you're asleep this morning, you're going to hear God's word. Now, what you do with that is up to you. So will you make application to God's word in your life? See, your Christian walk is not that you attend church. Your Christian life is not that you come and you raise your hand when the preacher tells you to raise your hands because we got a song going on. See, that's just part of the process of being a Christian. You should come to church because you want to, because you've heard in the Bible, Hebrews says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, and make application to that word. You should worship and raise your hands to the Lord because it is biblical that the Bible teaches that we worship God. We can raise our hands, we can sing, and we can get a little loud. We can dance before the Lord. It's biblical, but you have to make application to the word. So you have the word, and then you have to make application to the word. This week, I almost had to call Glenn again. My Lord Jesus. And so this week, I was putting a piece of an adapter on another header from one combine to the other. And things didn't work when I got finished. You know why? Because I took all of the parts off and I laid them out. And I thought, well, this is going to be too easy. Well, I just began to put other parts on. I only forgot one little thing about yay big that I didn't put on, though. Just one little old part. And I'm thinking, well, this can't be that big, but I don't think I even need that. It doesn't seem, yeah. So I put it all on, put it back together, and everything worked except one thing, one major thing. You know what I didn't do? I didn't read the instructions. However, I did have the instruction manual out, and it had pictures. The problem is, pictures don't tell you everything about every detail in the picture. And so as I looked through the pictures, I thought, it's like looking at your picture Bible. You know, you got when you were three. Most people look at that and say, oh, I just read the story. You look at the picture, I read the story of Jonah. Oh, I read the story of this. And that's not reading your Bible. And so I really wasn't reading the instructions, but I did look at the pictures. And when I got finished, it didn't work. And you know what I told my son? Tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to go back and read those instructions. Good. And I went back and read the instructions, but here was the problem. See, I read the instructions, and I received the instructions in my spirit, and I had to redo a lot of things because if I would have read the instructions in the beginning and made application to the instructions, I could have saved myself a lot of frustration, a lot of reworking, taking shields and things off, and I could have saved myself so much time by first reading or hearing the instructions and make an application of those instructions to what I was doing. Do you know your life spiritually is the same way? If you would get in God's word, you would save yourself a lot of redos, a lot of heartaches, a lot of, man, I wish I hadn't have said that. Man, if I'd only done it this way. And you beat yourself up. You ever been there? I have. And so God's word is no different than any other instruction manual. That's what it is. You know what the Bible stands for, don't you? B-I-B-L-E. Basic instructions before leaving earth. Think about it. It's an instruction manual on you how to live. What is it you want to know how to do? You want to know how to take care of your finances better? Do you know that's in the Bible? Do you want to know how to treat your wife better or your spouse better? Do you know that's in the Bible? Do you want to know how to raise children? Do you know that's in the Bible? Come on. Do you want to know how to treat others? You know that's in the Bible? There's nothing that you do in life that's not already addressed or has an instruction section in the Bible. It's not that we have the lack of knowledge in front of us to do something. It's the lack of willpower to apply the knowledge or the instructions that is in front of us. There's the problem. It's really simple. This is not a difficult thing. I always tell people, walking a Christian life is not difficult. Do you go through difficult times? Sure. But living for Christ is not that difficult if you read the Bible and you apply God's Word. Verse 26 says this, if anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue but deceives his own heart, this one, religion, is useless. Now, he started out talking about the ear, and now we're going to talk about the tongue. Everybody likes this one, the tongue. Verse 27, by the way, let me back up to verse 26. I want to read it again because I want to make a point. If anyone among you thinks he is religious, in other words, right with God, and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart. In other words, you're deceiving your heart if your tongue is loose. If you can't control your tongue, if you don't tame that thing, get it brought in, and I know we're going to talk about the tongue in a minute, but if you can't get that thing in some boundaries, the Bible says that your religion is useless. That's what it says. This one's religion is useless. Now, that's pretty stern words because we don't like to, I'm just praying for them. Now, that's some stern words from James, that you're religion, your practice of Christianity is useless if you don't take that tongue and put some boundaries on it. I'm not talking about you being perfect with your tongue and you completely taming it, because you can't. James is going to tell us in a few minutes, no one can tame the tongue. Now, that doesn't give you an excuse just to go say and do what you want to do. That's not what that means. Okay, we'll talk about that in a minute. Verse 27 says, pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit the orphans and the widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. What does it mean to keep myself unspotted from the world? If you look at this in context, the last two verses talks about what you say. If you look at the last five or six verses, it's what you hear, what you apply, and what you say. That's how you keep yourself unspotted from the world. The Bible says that he's coming for a bride that is without spot and without blemish. This is one way that you can keep yourself, that stain of your tongue, from staining your garment. It's to simply say, I'm going to learn from hearing God's word, apply God's word, so that I can help control my tongue. I knew you'd shout me down on this message. I just knew it when I was praying about it. I knew it. Look with me in James chapter 3. James chapter 3, starting in verse 1. I was going to read from my Bible, but I left my glasses in there, so I'll just read it from here. It's the same one. James chapter 3, verse 1 says, my brethren, now he's talking to the church. When you hear brethren, brothers, things like that, that's talking to a group of believers. Now, brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man. And when he says stumble in word, he's talking about what comes out of your lips. He said, if you don't stumble, if you don't mess up, you're a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body. If you get the words right, Ben, you are a perfect man. How many of you in here are perfect? Don't raise your hand, men. Amen. Nobody's perfect. Watch this. Verse 3. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. How many of you ever been on a horse? How many ever been on a crazy horse? Let me tell you a story about a horse one time. I was on a horse one time. Well, I'm going to tell you a different story. I'm going to tell you an even more funny story. I had a cousin that was on a horse, and I was on a crazy horse. He was on a more crazy horse. Amen? And this horse was long-legged and could really run. So you got a long-legged horse that can really run and is crazy. That's not a good combination if you're on it. Amen? And so we were riding through this field one time, and this horse was not going to be second place to no other horse. Second place was going to be way back there. This horse loved to be in the front, okay? I don't know why, but amen. We called her Star because she had a white spot right in her forehead, right between it, and it looked like a star. I mean, that's what it looked like. There was no sign for crazy, so we called her Star. And so my cousin is on this horse, and she is walking in front of me and a couple of other people. I ain't always been saved. I'm going to tell you that right now before I finish my story. And so we were behind a few horse lengths, and we devised this wicked plan that we would just rush by him and catch him off guard and just to see what this horse would do. We had a really good idea what a crazy horse could do, and she was super fast. So we let him get a little bit, and all of a sudden we spurred our horses, and our horses jumped, and man, I mean, ran right by this horse. Well, my cousin was on his horse, which was in the lead. And when we shot by, that horse he was on, Star, became a star. Do you hear me? And when we flew by, that horse lunged. I'm talking about like seemed like 15 feet, but lunged. And he's grabbing everything he can to stay on, grabbed the horn of the saddle, and only had one rein in his hand when all that stopped. And he yanked that rein, and you know what happened? It broke. Now you have a horse that's crazy, that has no rein on this side because it broke, and the other one is dangling. That means the horse has its head. There's no restrictions on holding that horse back. And that horse went nuts. I mean, it flew past us. The last we saw of my cousin before he bailed off was we got to the shop yard and there was equipment everywhere, and this horse looked like a rabbit jumping through equipment. With my cousin's face was white, lost all blood. He ran by a fence post that was about yay high and decided that's his best option. He removed himself from the horse, messed his shoulder up. Praise God. I told you I wouldn't always say, right? You know, I tell you that story because when we don't bridle ourselves, our mouth goes crazy. We start doing things and saying things that we shouldn't. And what may have started out with a little bit of joke ended up hurting someone. See, we never thought that the rein would break. We never thought that he would lose the other rein. We just thought it would be funny. But it ended up, he could have really been hurt bad, but he did end up hurting his shoulder. You know, when you say things, you ought to think before you talk. Because that little thing you think may be just a little gesture or a little joke could turn out to be something that's bad or detrimental to someone. So it's important to watch your tongue. It says this in verse 4. Look also at ships. Although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. You know, you can start a conversation and make it turn south real fast by your opening words, how you say something. You know, there's several ways to say something. How many of you ever went in and talked to your sweetheart and you've had a rough day, and maybe she has and you don't know it? And you go in and say, well, how was your day? Oh, it's on then. It just kind of goes south from there. It's how you present the words that you speak. And the Bible talks about this tongue, that it's a little member and it controls a lot of things. It controls your rest of the evening when you come home. It controls, watch this, it controls relationships most of the time for the duration of the relationship. You speak things, you can't take it back. You can't take a word back. How many of you ever spoke something that came out and you knew before it ever got to their ears, you shouldn't have said that? Man, I should. Oh, I wish I could take it back. You can't take it back. It's already done. It's already been heard. And when it gets heard, the devil has a great way of taking that that might not have been in that same demeanor, that same direction you want to go, and twisting that and gets in our spirit, and you'll walk around with those one, two, three, or four words or that one sentence in your spirit for weeks, sometimes months. Some of you can remember somebody saying something to you and it hurts you years ago. Anybody, can I get a witness there? That's how powerful the words are. You got to watch what you say and how you say it. Watch the tongue. In verse 5, even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles? There's no fire ever started without first a spark. I watched some of the Maui fires. How many of you saw any of the videos on that? Devastating. People in swimming pools with stuff over their face to keep from the smoke. I mean, they weren't going to get burned, but they still choked to death with the smoke. In the ocean, I mean, just, it was crazy. And I saw some videos where it would just jump from this house, and all of a sudden you think, okay, and then the wind would take it, and it would catch this house on fire. And it just burned so many houses over a period of a day or so. They're just gone. I mean, gone. And the Bible says that our tongue with words are the same way. It just, it's a little here and a little there, but it's a little fire. And it'll catch the whole forest on fire. Your words, what I say, what you say, your words, what comes out of your mouth. I want to tell you here, I'm going to tell you what my mama used to tell me. Are you ready? She would always say this. And she'd come to me and she'd say, watch your mouth, son. The Lord, through His Word, is saying, watch your mouth, son or daughter. Watch your mouth. It's like mama getting on to you. I know they don't do this nowadays, and my mother loved me with more love than you can imagine. But she loved me in a way that some of y'all ain't loving your kids. Many of you know my mom. She's a full-grown woman. She's stronger than most men at her age now, at 75. My mother had an awesome backhand, and I ain't talking about in tennis either. Do you hear me? And she would, sometimes in the car, it was instant reflex. We would be arguing with my brother and sister, and turn around, wham! Whoever she hit was intended to. And after she hit you, she'd say, now y'all watch your mouth. I'm thinking, couldn't you have told me that before? See, I think God sometimes needs to backhand to some of it with our mouths on how we treat people with it, what we say, how we talk about people, gossip. Come on, somebody. I'm not just talking about a word. I'm talking about words. I'm talking about how you use your tongue. Verse 6 says, and the tongue is a fire. Watch this. This is what James is saying about your tongue. Your tongue, not just mine, but your tongue. A fire, a world of pleasure and peace and joy and happiness. That ain't what it says. What is that next word? That your tongue is a world of iniquity. I'm telling you, if the Bible says that your tongue is iniquity, you better be watching that thing. I don't know of any other body part, single body part, that the Bible specifically brings out and says that part of you is iniquity. Not just a little bit, but it's a world of iniquity. We need to watch our tongue. We need to watch our tongue. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire by hell. Your tongue, if not brought into somewhat of submission, can taint your whole Christian walk, your tongue. That's what the Bible says. It stains the whole body. It's a problem for, how many of you have ever gotten a stain on your shirt and you realize when you get in public, oh, I got a stain. And you don't have a coat or a jacket to cover it up. And that little spot that you noticed on your shirt makes you feel bad about the whole wardrobe. You want to go home and change the whole wardrobe because you got one spot. Now, the other day, now it's different if you got grandkids. The other day, I was holding Cooper here Wednesday night, and they don't feed him enough, so we fed him more. Problem was, he had enough, and he spit up on my shirt, and I had a purple-looking shirt, and it was just stained up, not stained, but wet. I wore it proudly. See, that's a different kind of stain, amen? But it messed up. I wasn't going to go out somewhere with that on my shirt. And the tongue is like that. Our tongue stains us from being effective witnesses for Christ if you don't get that tongue under control. I know this is not a shout-me-down message, but I didn't come with one of those in mind. Verse 7, for every kind of beast and bird of reptile and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. Come on, somebody. I always wanted a pet dolphin. Where would I put a pet dolphin? I don't know, but I'd like to have one. That's cool. Wouldn't that be cool to have a pet dolphin? So you're thinking, man, you're really whacked. Hey, keep your tongue. Everything has been tamed. According to Scripture, every reptile, every bird, every beast, every creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no man, how many people, how many men? How many women? Can tame the tongue. It is an unruly, evil, full of deadly poison. Full of deadly poison. Now, I don't know about y'all, but I'm scared of a snake. Deadly or not deadly, whether he's got poison or no poison, doesn't matter. I'm scared of a snake. Come on, somebody. If you're wondering, we'll never be snake handlers in this church as long as I'm your pastor. I don't care what anybody says. I'll have to leave. So the idea of getting bit by a poisonous snake is a problem for me and those around me. I'm going to make a point with this. I look and I'm careful where I think there might be a poisonous snake. I'm just going to say it this way, any snake, okay? But a poisonous snake, since the Bible says poisonous, deadly poison, I look and I'm very cautious when I'm at those spots. Yesterday, I'm picking up polyp. Some of you know I farm with my son, so I'm out there doing the manual labor. And I'm taking some connections off, and it's had some grass, and it's kind of dead looking around. And in my mind, I'm thinking, there could be a water moccasin, a cottonmouth, or a copperhead around. That's what goes through my mind before I get out, and I'm in shorts. Like pants are going to, you know, fix your problem, but makes you feel better. Come on, somebody. And so I'm out, and I'd yank a little grass off, and I'd look around, and I'd kick around. And I'd undo that, and I'd pull that polypipe back, but so there's something between me and whatever it is. Hopefully no snake. And so I was very cautious because I was in the area that they probably could be. Are you listening? Because I'm fixing to make a point. When you talk, when your mouth opens, you ought to be cautious that there's deadly poison that could possibly come out of your mouth and hurt or destroy someone else. If we were as cautious about our words as I was about that snake that I never saw, didn't see one all day yesterday, But if we were as cautious about what we say to people and how we say it as I was about if there was a snake there or not, because I did not want to get bit. If we were that conscious about what comes out of our lips, oh, would this be a wonderful world? There would be no church splits. Come on, somebody. Y'all know, you know, I told you, I was in the church one time where the only time they agreed on everything was as getting ready to get rid of the pastor. There would be no ill feelings, because we wouldn't say anything to hurt your feelings. Look, I'm not trying to be politically correct and saying, oh, everybody gets a prize. That's not what I'm talking about. There's times the Bible sets up, there's times for rebuke and instruction and correction through God's word. I get that. But I'm talking about controlling the tongue, and I'm going to hurry and close. In verse 9, with this tongue, he's saying, with this tongue we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude or the likeness, depending on your version, or the image of God. You know what he's really saying? When you curse somebody, when you speak ill of them, when your tongue spews deadly poison, do you know that you're talking to someone who's made in God's image? Oh, that stings a little bit. We shouldn't do that. He goes on to say in verse 10, out of the same mouth proceeds blessings and cursings. My brethren, my church folk, he says this, these things ought not to be so. You shouldn't come in and lift your hand. Ooh, I just feel presence of the Lord. Glory to God. Ooh, I feel so good. Praise you, Jesus. We worship you. And then leave here and talk about people in a negative way that could hinder them or hurt them. The Bible says that bitter and sweet shouldn't come out. Sweetness being the praising of the Lord, and bitterness, that poison coming out of your mouth that hurts people. It shouldn't be that way. Does a spring, in verse 11, does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter water from the same opening? It's a question. No, it doesn't. It's impossible. I was raised and I have some background in the hills of Arkansas. I'm a hillbilly. And my dad, there were some springs that aren't that good, that are kind of bittery. And how many ever drank from them? Artesian well. Just runs off. If you like a little iron in your water, man, it's good. There are wells that are good, and there's wells that are no good. If you're in the Delta, you have those wells that smell like sulfur, like somebody dropped a bunch of eggs in them. And then you got those that you don't mind drinking from. Of course, if you're thirsty, you don't care what it smells like. You just want to quench your thirst, amen. And so the Bible says that we shouldn't have two things coming out of the same well. It's not possible. It shouldn't be possible. In verse 12, can a fig tree, my brethren, he wants you to know he's talking to the church, the Christian folks, my brethren bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? He's trying to give you this simple analogy that you say, well, no, that's impossible. That's what he's trying to, it's so simple that you would say, well, that's just kind of a dumb statement. Can a fig tree bear grapes? Can an olive tree bear figs? No, it's impossible. He said, so why is it, basically what he's saying is, so why is it that you can bless God and then curse people with the same tongue? The verse goes on to say, thus no spring yields both salt water and fresh. These are some harsh words that James spoke to the children of God about our tongues and our ears, more specifically the tongue. But if you'll take what you hear in God's word, if you'll take today's word that I just spoke to you, today's word, into your ear, put it in your heart, make application when it comes out through your lips. It'll be sweetness rather than bitter speech. It'll be life-saving words rather than deadly poison. But you have to make application. You've heard it today. He uses the ear first. Hear what the Word of God says. Put it in your heart. Make application to God's Word. And when it comes out, it'll have results that you never dreamed. Try it on your wife or your husband when you go home today. Just try. You'll be amazed. Now, the first off, if you really hadn't been doing a lot of that, the first thing they're going to look at you like, what you smoking? You done took some. Because if you ain't been used to hearing it, it catches you off guard. Come on, somebody. I went one time, I don't really open the car door for my wife. I was kind of in the women's lib thing. She want to open the car, you know, open the car door. Amen. You ought to do that if that's what you want to do. Amen. I'm not saying not to her. But I was going to be sweet one day. I opened the car door. I'm walking behind her. She's got to get in first. So I walk behind her, and boy, she puts her hand. I grab it and open the door, and she looked at me like. And she gets that little smirky smile. What are you doing? I'm just trying to be nice. Just going to open the door. She gets in with a smile. I close the door. I'm walking around the front of the vehicle, and I look in there, and she's just laughing. I ain't opened the door since. Amen? I'm saying it's what we do. It changes everything. And if you'll apply God's Word to your life, let today's Word go through your ear. My prayer this morning, before anybody got here early this morning, was, Lord, let there be no confusion between my lips and the ear of the hearer this morning. Lord, not only anoint, listen to me now, not only anoint my lips to speak it, but anoint their ears to receive it. And then, Lord, let us all make application to your word. That was my prayer for everyone that was going to be here this morning, and I didn't know who was going to be here, but that's my prayer for you today. It's a pastoral message today, but we need it. I need it. I need this word, and so do you. Will you stand with me across this building? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.